The scripture reading today is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come.
Well, good morning. I want to take a moment just to thank you for allowing me the opportunity once again to stand here before you. It's very humbling to come before you and to open the Word of God. Thank you for the way that you've welcomed Frieda and I. I know I shared that with you before when I was able to be up here a few months ago, and it really has been a blessing for us to be able to become a part of the family here at Spinning Road. This morning I want to start by telling you just a little something else about myself, and maybe it's something that some of you share. Do we have anyone here who likes to tinker? You like to just play with things and see if you can make them work or those kinds of things? Well, that's the kind of person I am. I enjoy tinkering with things, especially if they're broken. I'm really not much on fixing or messing with things that are working, because usually they don't work after I'm done tinkering with them. I learned that lesson the hard way, unfortunately. But if something's already broken, well, I'll jump into that wholeheartedly, because I figure, if it doesn't work when I'm done, I haven't really lost anything. But when something's broken, now that's different. I'm ready. At home, I have in my garage a blower, my leaf blower. I actually found it in a trash can about 20 years ago. And it was broken. Someone had put the wrong kind of fuel in there, and it had seized up, and they had just discarded it. So I asked if I could have it, and I took it home, and I cleaned it all up and took it all apart, and sure enough, I pulled the cord, and it started up. And now, 20 years later, I'm still using that same broken blower. But this morning, this is what I want you to think about. Even though that blower was broken, and I fixed it, I made it work again, it's still just an old blower. No matter what I did to it, or no matter what I do to it as I continue to have to repair it through the years, it will never be a new blower again. It will always be just what it is, an old blower. This morning I want to talk to you about the idea of being made new, of receiving a new life. Not just being fixed up, not just fixing up a broken life, not even being like new, but really being brand new. Today we want to talk about what it means to be new in Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for all that you've done in my life, that you took a man who was broken, and every day you're making me new. And Father, I know for so many sitting here before me, that same thing is true. Because we were broken in our sin. But by your grace, through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, shed for us on the cross, we have been made new. We are being made new every day as we place our trust in you. I pray this morning, Father, that you would help me to be able to communicate the truth of your word. And that each of us, as we sit and as we listen and as we open our hearts and our minds to that truth, we would be changed. So, Father, I just want to commit this time to you. I ask your blessing upon it now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, in your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the verse that we heard read just a moment ago. And I want to share that with you again. This really is the centerpiece for what I want us to share this morning. We're going to be looking at several other verses that can kind of help us to better understand what Paul was trying to communicate to us here. But this is really the key. This is what I want us to think about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And I'm going to be reading it from the New American Standard Version, which is a little bit different than what we have up on the screen. It says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. When I look at a passage of Scripture, one of the things that I like to do is I like to just take it apart, piece by piece, and look at the different things that are there, and it helps me then to better understand the verse as a whole. So this morning, that's what I would like for us to do with this particular verse. And so as you begin to look at the verse, the very first word should get your attention immediately. It's the word, therefore. At school, we teach our students that when you see the word therefore in a passage of Scripture, you should always look and see what it's there for. Why is that word being used? What is it trying to connect? Something has previously been said, and now it's being emphasized, and they're coming to a conclusion. So that's what we want to do. We want to take a moment and look back just a little bit and see just what it was that prompted the verse that's before us this morning. Now, in this case, we actually only have to look back a couple of verses. If you still have your Bibles open, in chapter 5, I'd like to go back to verses 14 and 15 for just a moment. Because this is really the foundational idea that Paul is communicating that leads him to, therefore, if any man is in Christ. So verses 14 and 15. It says, "For the love of God controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." Paul tells us that he is controlled. I believe the NIV uses the word compelled to tell people the truth that one person, Jesus Christ, died for all people. And that because of Jesus' death on the cross, the penalty for my sin, the penalty for your sin, death, has been paid once and for all. I like the way that one commentator put it as I was thinking about this verse. He's a person I enjoy reading. His name is David Gusick. And this is how he kind of summed this up. He says, "At root, Christianity is something that God does in us, not something we do for God." Think about that for a moment. How often do we live our lives trying to justify ourselves before the Lord, trying to live such a good life, trying to do this, trying to do that, so that God will be pleased with us, so that we can somehow be worthy of the love that he's shown us through his son, Jesus Christ? When in reality, I will never be worthy of that love. There's nothing I can do because God has already done it all. He provided salvation for all who will put their trust in Jesus Christ. Christianity is all about what God did, not about what I do or about what you do. Now, we need to be serving the Lord and doing those things faithfully, but we don't do it out of a sense of obligation. We do it because of what God did for us, out of love for him. The idea of being made new is really a God thing. It's not a man thing. I can never make myself new because at my very core, I am corrupted by sin. And that's true for each one of us. No matter how good I am, no matter how many good things I do, I'm still going to be corrupted before God. I can never justify myself before him because I'm a sinner. God had to intervene. And that's what this passage is about. Jesus, through his death on the cross, made my new life possible. Because of what Jesus did for us, we can experience a new life in Christ. Since Christ died once and for all, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? I mean, it's exciting to me to think about the fact that God did that for me. And he did that for you. But I want to finish taking the verse apart. I want you to think about what that means. If we want to be a new creature in Christ, if we want to experience that, there's a condition. Look again at verse 17. Notice what he says. Therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, if, it's an implied cause and effect statement. If any man is in Christ, then he is a new creation, a new creature. In order to be made new, a person must first be in Christ. That's the second part of the verse that I want us to consider this morning. What does it mean to be in Christ? Now, if you've read much in Paul's writings, you know he's very fond of using that phrase. He speaks often of being in Christ. But what does it mean? To me, this is how I would define it. To be in Christ means that we have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. It's not about how religious you are. It's not about doing the right things or doing good things, though we should be about the work of the Lord and we need to be faithful in our service for him. It's about knowing the one through whom everything that exists came into being and being made new in him. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look at just a couple of verses. Paul is talking about this idea of being made new, of a new creation once again. And it has a very different kind of a flavor to it, but it's communicating the truth that I want you to get. Galatians chapter 6, and it's verses 15 and 16. Listen to what Paul says. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. If you've studied much in the Old Testament, you know that circumcision was an outward sign of the covenant relationship between Israel and God. Well, as we move into the New Testament and Paul begins to share the ministry of the gospel with the Gentiles that he comes in contact with, there are those who come along behind him, and they're basically saying to those new Gentile converts, well, no, Paul didn't quite give you all the information. If you really want to be a Christian, you must basically become Jewish first. You need to take on all the trappings of the Jewish customs of the old covenant in order to be a part of the new covenant, is what they were saying. And several times, Paul responds to these folks very adamantly, no, that's not true. It's not true. Circumcised or uncircumcised, it doesn't mean anything. What Paul is saying is what matters is the new creation, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what will get us into heaven. That's what gives us a new life today. That's what gives us peace and joy. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If we try to find fulfillment simply through doing what's right, being religious, following the rules, we won't find what we're looking for. It can only be found in Christ, being made new on the inside. Now, the mistake that the Judaizers, that's what those folks were called, made is not a new thing. Men have always looked at the outside appearance to try to judge what's going on the inside. You remember in the Old Testament, after Saul, as the first king of Israel, had disappointed God, and God decided that he was going to take the kingdom from Saul, so he sent Samuel, and you can read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 15, where Saul makes the mistake of jumping ahead and God says, okay, that's it. I'm going to take the kingdom from you. And so he gives Samuel the responsibility of anointing a new king. So Samuel travels to the city of Bethlehem, to the house of David, and he has all the sons of Jesse lined up before him. 7 fine, strong young men. The first one in the line was the oldest, Eliab. Samuel looked at him. He was strong. He was handsome, big man, and thought, surely this is the guy that God sent me here to anoint. But God said, no. Listen to the response to Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now we know in that story that David was the one that Samuel was sent to anoint. And again, speaking to the idea of how we view things, he wasn't even invited to be there. He was out tending the sheep, and they had to send for him to come. And when Samuel saw him, he knew this was the new king. Today, man is still looking at the outside, isn't he? And God is still concerned about what's going on the inside. The outside can look great, while the inside is corrupt, sick, and dying. God can fix the inside. Not just repair it. God can make it brand new. Think about that for a moment. Think of the things in your life that you just wish weren't there. God can transform you into a brand new person. And all that happens in Christ. We have so much as believers because we are in Christ. One of my favorite passages of Scripture that speaks to this idea is in Ephesians chapter 1. So I'm going to ask you to turn there. And being a teacher, I'm going to give you an assignment for this one, okay? So as you listen to the passage, I'm going to read it to you. We're going to read verses 3 through 14. I want you to listen for two things. I want you to listen for all the things that God does in this passage. And then I want you to listen for the things that we do in this passage. Okay? So part of it is, what does God do? What do we have in Christ? What is it because of what God is doing in us? And what do we do in this situation? So it's Ephesians chapter 1. It's verses 3 through 14. Listen to what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things upon the earth. In him we have also obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. To this end, we who were first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Now, in all of that, there were just two things that we do. Did you catch it? We heard and we believed. God did everything else. Think again about the list. In verse 3, it says, in Christ, we have every spiritual blessing. In verse 4, in Christ, we were chosen to be holy and blameless before the foundation of the world. Before this world was even created, God knew me. He knew you. And we had been predestined, chosen to be a part of his family. In verse 5, through Christ, we were adopted into God's family. That's why we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, and he is our heavenly Father. In verse 7, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. In verse 9, in Christ, the mystery of God's will has been revealed, the good news, the gospel. That's what the mystery is. In verse 11, from the start, those who were in Christ were chosen to proclaim that gospel to the world, and that as each one hears and believes, they become a part in Christ of spreading the good news about Christ. And then finally, in verses 13 and 14, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance, our home in glory. All of that is ours because of what Christ did, not because of what we did. There's even more. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, we're taught that even our thoughts are made new in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we are transformed from the inside. We are changed, and we are being changed. Now, I would never want to mislead anyone. So this morning, I don't want you to think that the moment that you receive Christ as your Savior, that all of the struggles of life will disappear and everything will be smooth sailing for the rest of your days. I see your smiles because you know that's just not true. We still struggle with sin in our lives, and I believe that we will struggle until the day we go to be with the Lord. We are being changed. We are being transformed. I view salvation, when you think of this idea of being saved, I view it as a process. The first part of it takes place in that moment when you pray to receive Christ as your Savior. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's finished. It's complete. You are his child. We call that part of salvation justification. At that point, God looks at me. I have been made right with him. And even as I heard Pastor Scott say a few weeks ago, or just a week or so ago, justified means God looks at me justified, never sinned. I've been made right with him. That's the first part of salvation. But then the second part of salvation is the term we call sanctification. And that's where those of us who've received Christ as our Savior, that's where we are. We're in the midst of the process of becoming more like Christ. We are being changed daily as we surrender ourselves. We become a living sacrifice, placing ourselves on the altar before God, saying, Lord, today I choose to be obedient to your word. I want to live a life that's pleasing to you. Please continue to work in me through your Spirit by your grace, transforming me into the man, into the woman that you would have me to be. It's called sanctification. Here's a scripture for that. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Let me just read the verse to you real quick so you can see how that phrase is used. Here's what he says. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So in the first step of salvation, justification, we are removed from the penalty of our sin. Romans chapter 6 teaches us the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So by being justified before God, we are no longer accountable for the penalty of our sin. In sanctification, in this aspect of our salvation, we are being removed from the power of sin. No longer do we have to do those things. But now, when we do them, we choose to do them. But we can also choose not to, by the power of God. We can choose to be faithful and to follow Him. And then the last part of our salvation comes in that moment when this life is over. Whether we pass away or the Lord returns to take us home with Him, we will be with Him forever, and that's called glorification. Even as we sing, that will be glory. I mean, it's going to be amazing to be with Jesus. Christ will one day return and save us from the very presence of sin, and we'll be with Him forever. Salvation is a process. Again, we are changed in that moment we receive Christ. We are new creatures in Him, and we are being changed, becoming all that God intended for us to be in Christ. Well, let's finish the verse and think just a little bit more about what Paul is saying to us here. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Think about the idea of the old is gone. What does he mean? Well, again, I want us to look at Scripture. I want us to hear it right from the Word of God. This is what it means. In your Bibles, if you would, turn to Romans chapter 6. We're going to look at just four verses there. Romans chapter 6. This is just one part of what it means that the old is gone. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So one thing that has changed is that we have died to sin. And that means that we're going to respond to temptation differently now. We died to those things. It no longer needs to be or should be a part of our lives. Then, from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, let's look at another passage of Scripture. This one is verses 17 through 24. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you should walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that is, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, that you would be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, having been created in righteousness and holiness and in truth. So for those of us who are in Christ, we don't think the same, we don't act the same, we don't do the same things. We have put off the old self, just like you would take off an old jacket and set it aside, and we have put on a new way of thinking, a new way of living, a new attitude, a new way to respond. And it's all because we are in Christ. One more verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Just listen if you'd like. It says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Our old nature, our old way of thinking has been crucified with Christ. Now, how can that be? How can we put off the old self? And how can we die to sin? And how is our old nature crucified with Christ? Well, in Galatians chapter 2, one of my favorite verses, in verse 20, this is what he says. Listen to what he says. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. So how do we live a transformed life? We live it by faith. Every day saying, Lord, I need you. I trust you. I know you'll be there with me. I know you'll help me to do the things I need to do, to stop doing the things I don't need to be doing. In Christ, I have been made new. But not only have I been made new, in Christ, through Christ, I can now live this life that he's given me to live by his grace, by faith in him. The old is gone, the new is come. There need not be any fear. There no longer is any condemnation, any hopelessness, because we are new in Christ. We have been made new, and now there is hope. Now there is peace for those who are in Christ Jesus. Before, we lived driven by our sin and our passion. Now we live by faith in the one who loved us and gave himself up for us. We have been made new. Is that exciting to you? Praise God. We have been made new. Please join me for a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the gift of salvation. I know there may be those sitting here this morning who've never received that gift. And as we speak of a new life, it's something to them that sounds so foreign, so far away. But it's really simply as close as a prayer of faith, trusting you as our Savior. So, Father, I pray that in these moments of invitation that you would work in the hearts of each one here, that you would challenge us, Father, regardless of where we are in this process of salvation, either to come to know you or to strive to live for you. And we all look forward to the day that we'll be with you. So we just commit this time of invitation into your hands. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you in Christ this morning? If not, you can be. It really is as simple as the ABCs. One, acknowledge your sin and ask God to come into your heart and to forgive you. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and that he died for you and rose again that you would have new life. Confess your faith in him as your Lord and Savior, and Scripture says you will be saved. Will you do that today?